Thank you. Can you hear me? Good. Feels a bit high up this, but never mind. Well, it's great to be back and see some of your faces. Some I know, some I don't know. I want to give Sonia permission to step in and add anything to what I'm going to share this morning. Speak up. Oh, I'm told to speak up. So if I go quiet, wave your hands, because I'm a quiet person. I get excited sometimes, though. I want to speak to you about a little phrase that came to me about 2 weeks ago. I was having a bit of quiet, which I love. It's my life is quiet and the presence of God. That's Sonia. And I would just sit down, and a little phrase came into my mind. Daddy fix. I thought, daddy fix. And instantly, a memory came back from 35 years ago. And it was of our oldest daughter brought me a toy that she'd dropped. And this toy was in dozens of pieces. And she came to me and she said, Daddy, fix. Well, what happened, I had to tell her that some things Daddy couldn't fix. It was beyond it. So there's a place for children when reality sets in where Daddy is the finest person in the world, but there comes a reality time where there's some things that Daddy can't fix. And as I thought about it, I thought, my dad in heaven fixes things. And he sent me on a journey for a couple of weeks, so I spent quite a bit of time going through the scriptures, and I thought, Daddy, what things will you fix? And then he also spoke to me and he says, there are some things in people's lives I cannot fix. I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I'd like a volunteer to come and help me. I'm going to need some this morning, a volunteer. And it's no trick, it's nothing nasty. Okay, oh, I've got a wifey volunteer. Okay, I want you to look at that mug. It's a Bovril mug, it's not promotion, it's just the cheapest ones I could find when I was going to crack one. Okay, what do you see about that mug, love? Is there anything wrong with it?
I don't think so.
No, it's pretty whole and perfect. What about this one?
Been broken and stuck together.
Okay, it's been broken and it's stuck together.
The cracks are still there.
Okay, thank you, love. See, that's what happens in life to us. We get born like this and we're wonderful and perfect, more or less. But life puts cracks in us. Life, ordinary, everyday life, puts cracks in us. Now, as human beings, we can glue things back together. And the cracks are not bad, but they're still there. But the thing is, if we look at the third mug, the third one in here, is a slightly different version. But you see, there's only Daddy in heaven who can put you back together like this. And it takes a lifetime. But Daddy in heaven wants to get the cracks out of our lives. And you know something? If there are cracks in our lives, wounds and hurts, we have to be honest enough to say they're there. Because they can't be healed. And usually in life, we need other people to help us bring God's healing into our lives. So I'm afraid to say we're all crackpots this morning. You're a crackpot and so am I. But you know, we're on a journey to get like this, where the cracks are healed though. They're not just glued together. Because you know, where God heals your cracks, you have authority in that area to help other people. So get your cracks healed, okay? Right, I'm going to talk about Daddy Fix, and I'm going to go through this quickly. For those of you who are very scriptural and all that, I've scriptures for everything I'm going to say, but I'm going to skip them for sake of time. Okay, so you're going to have a picture review. Now, the first thing I want to look at is the things that Daddy fixes. And then we're going to look at the things Daddy doesn't fix, but gives us the dignity to fix ourselves. There's a big difference. Right. The first thing is salvation. And you know, when you're up here sometimes, thoughts come to you. I've never thought of a fluffy scarf before, but I move on what's in my heart. Okay? I think afterwards I thought, what have I done? I thought, no, but that's what God said to me. Okay, so a man came back to mind from about 45 years ago, and his name was Jimmy Song. He was an Asian man, and we met him a few years down his journey. And he was a Buddhist man, and he traveled the world going to different Buddhist places, and he went to Islam, he went to all sorts of places, and everywhere he went into the meetings or whatever it was, and he asked God to punish him for his sin. And he was doing world travels, going places, asking God to punish him for his sin. And he was doing this for a few years. And then one day, he was, I don't know where he was, no idea. It was raining, it was pouring, he got soaked. And he saw a light somewhere up the hill. So he went, and it turned out to be a church. So there was a service or something going on, so he snuck in the back and sat quietly out the way. And he started his usual routine. God, will you punish me for my sin? And a man stood at the front instantly and said, wasn't speaking to him, and said, Jesus has took all the punishment. God just wants to forgive your sin and get rid of it. It blew him apart. And he came on a journey to wholeness. And you know, just in brief, all the religions of the world are asking you to do something to please God. Do you know? God, our Father, looked down at the mess we're in, sent Jesus down. He died, he lived, he died, he rose again. And you know, he's took all the punishment. And we don't have to do anything except say, sorry, Jesus, I've made a mess. I'm receiving it into our hearts. There's no punishment anymore. It's gone. Jesus took it all. And that's basically the gospel. So I want to look quickly at aspects that things that Father in heaven will do for us. And as I speak about them this morning, you may think, Father, I need you to do that for me. And we'll have a time at the end, if you want prayer, one of the ministry team will come pray for you and help you in that. You may see the second half of what I'm going to say, some things that you realise you've been asking God to fix and he wants you to fix them. Because sometimes I think we ask God to do something and he's given us the dignity of choice. Do you know, you needn't be a Christian, you choose to be a Christian. You needn't be discipled, you choose. We choose. We've got the dignity of choice. God, when he made Adam and Eve, he said, "Here's everything's free. You can choose." Now he made a lousy choice. But God still loves him. And you and I make lousy choices sometimes. But God still loves us. Right. We'll look at the next one. First thing we've got to do is receive forgiveness. We've got to receive it. Jesus says, I forgive your sin, we've got to receive it. So if I have this, my iPad here, it's looking rusty, and this young man here, do you know, he's received it. You can spend all your time looking at this and knowing how wonderful it is, but you've actually got to receive it. You've got to receive forgiveness. The next one, this is cracking this, I like this. Adopted! Okay, get your forms out. Get your clan gathering out. Now pretend it says adopted on there and we'll agree with this lady. Adopted. Adopted. We're adopted into God's family. Come on, you stiffies, lift your form up. We're adopted. We're adopted. Do you know our own hearts need to hear and be reminded? I'm adopted into God's family and so are you. You know? Adopted. I'll be scriptural on this one. He destined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. According to the pleasure of his will. Wow. the pleasure of his will. Do you know, Father looks down and has great pleasure over me. And do you know, he does over you. Pleasure. You know, I was brought up on the thing where it was all sin and all this sort of thing. And God, there is sin. We live in a mucky world. But do you know, we've got a God of love who wants to change us so we can live as we're told in the muck of the crowns. We can live amongst it and we can shine a different because we've got the life and love of God inside us. It makes such a difference. Now, does it absolve you from troubles? No. In fact, sometimes you have a few more. But the difference is, instead of doing it yourself, you've got help. Let's go on to the next one. Next one, quickly. Okay. One thing the Father will do, he'll heal your broken hearts. If you ask him, and often we need humans to help, he'll heal your broken heart. Next one. He heals the sick. Sometimes when we're ill and stuff, Jesus will heal our sicknesses and make us better. I've got wobbly legs. I've had wobbly legs since the day I popped out of my mum's womb, and they've never been healed. But I've had thighs that were terrible after I had my operations, and I got them healed. Now, I don't understand why I've had one bit and not the other bit, but Jesus heals. Jesus heals. Next one. Jesus gives us peace. My peace I leave with you, he says. My peace I leave with you. John 14:6. My peace. Jesus gives us peace. But same again, we've got to receive it. We've got to receive it. We can know all the scriptures back to front. We can know all about Jesus' peace, but we've got to say, Lord, thank you very much. It's mine. I receive it. We've got to receive peace. Next one. There's different sorts of gifts he can give us. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, mind. Different things. Okay, next one. Do you know God puts us into a family? A family. Do you know if you love Jesus, you're part of God's family. And he does it for us. He fixes us into a family. Now, sometimes a family isn't quite the right shape or the right sort that you would exactly choose. But you know, he puts you in a family because you need them and they need you. And when we're in a family, you know what happens in a family, particularly with little kids? There's a bit of squabbling. But you know, we're allowed to squabble as long as we sort it out. And as long as we behave in a way that's loving. Okay, next one. There's gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. The only one that we're allowed to use for ourselves is, what is it? What one gift of the Spirit can we use for ourselves? I'll give you a clue. Tongues. All the rest are abilities we receive to help other people. I've got a gift of prophecy. I can use that. I can look at this couple over here and see they've got a real heart to follow God. And this young lady, as she's growing in motherhood, you're married, I presume. Good, I've got that right. And there's something in the heart of God that sees this young lady and sees some of the dreams she had when she was in teenage years have been played down a little bit in motherhood, and they've not gone, but they're still there. And just keep treasuring them, because in time, they will come back and your kids will grow and you'll have more freedom, and those things that you long to do, those passions and things, will come back to you. And there's something about your relationship together where your husband is going to be able to release you into some of those dreams you've had, and some of those things, they're not gone, they're just dormant. And so occasionally you think, oh, ever, these kids, but you know, it's normal life. And in your motherhood and fatherhood together, there's something about, there's a release for you two down the line in functioning together in healing and restoring people's lives. And there's something to do with artistic expression that's dormant in you, but God will bring it back in time. So these years when you're changing, maybe you're not changing nappies now, but doing all that sort of stuff and getting worrying, just flopping into bed because they've worn you out, do you know it's part of your training? Okay. Okay, next one. This is what God has also given us. He's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to train us and help us get the job done. That's something God's good at, and he'll fix it like that. Next one. Do you know, if you know Jesus, you've got a place reserved in heaven. Jesus said, I'm going back to the disciples, John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's a place just right for you and just right for me in heaven, and he's getting it ready. Now, there seems to be a bit of hassle in growing and in life down here until we get there. But you know, there's a place in heaven for you, and you know, you can't earn it. You can't do nothing about it. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you won't make any difference. You receive it as a gift. There's a place in heaven for you. So there are some of the things that Dad will fix for us. So we can expect when we pray and ask, he'll do these things for us. Now let's spend a few minutes looking at the things he's given us. Dignity, he won't do for us. We've got to do for ourselves. Can we have the first one? It should be blank. Ah, right. When we've done wrong and blown it, he won't make us confess. We have to do that ourselves. We have to say, sorry. Sorry. He won't do. He won't come to you. I don't know this young man here. He won't come to us and say, excuse me, can I borrow your arm just a minute? Now, if you don't repent, I'll break your arm. It doesn't work like that. It just convicts your heart and you think, this is not right, I need to put it right. So he's not going to break your arm to do it. He gives you choice. He gives you choice. The next one, when we've confessed, we need to receive forgiveness. We need to actually receive it, get our hearts cleansed and go on free of it. Next one, and this is a hard one, even for Christians. When we've blown it, we need to learn to forgive ourselves. Are you listening to me? Forgive yourself. If Sonia and I work with lots of people, and this is one of the biggies, you've got to forgive yourself. Because if you don't, it makes the cross invalid. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Receive forgiveness. And you choose to do that. Next one. We've got to learn to forgive others. God doesn't make you forgive. You can be a person who doesn't forgive, say in your 20s, and you build up it all, and by the time you get to your 80s, you're a grumpy old bump. And you're bitter and twisted, and everything you say is polluted because you haven't learned to forgive. Now, let's face it. Is there anybody perfect here? Would you raise your hand? Good, we've no liars. You see, we're imperfect. I'm imperfect. Sonny's, we're all imperfect. And we hurt each other and knock each bits off each other. Hopefully not willfully, but it's life. And you have to get to a place where Scripture says some uncomfortable things. It said if you don't forgive others, it won't work in you. God can't forgive you at the level he wants to if you don't. So you've got to forgive other people. Now, is it a struggle sometimes? Is it hard? Yes, it is hard. Sometimes people have done things that it takes you a while to forgive them. It doesn't always happen instantly. But as long as you've got a heart to do that, the Holy Spirit will lead you and take you to that place. Next one. We've got to learn not to be offended. It's a learning process. Learn not to be offended. That isn't Sonia and I, by the way. It was drawn for me by a man who was semi-blind years ago. But you know, let me ask you a question. How easily offended are you? How easily offended am I? Do you carry offence? You know, Sonia and I have been married 50 years early next year. And we had a tough time the first few years. It's got better, better, and better ever since. I love her more than ever, but I still don't understand her. Sometimes she does things and I think, what planet's that from? But I accept that that's who she is. And she's lovely as she is. Can I say I never change it? Well, no, I don't want to change it. I've tried long enough for the first 2 years and it don't work. So we have to learn to be, not take offence. And where we do take offence, we need to do something about it. We need to talk to people. If you're offended by somebody, don't tell the house group how badly you've been treated. Go to the person involved and have a chat with them. Do you know it's biblical? It's biblical to do that. Yeah, my wife's telling me, don't point the finger. You, go on, you tell them, love. Come on. She's good at this. You tell them, no? Yeah, there's a thing here, love.
Okay. There's a way to put things right, and there's a way not to put things right. And so, you know, I've learned over years, I would sort of point the finger and say, well, you did this, and really upset me. But actually, the way to deal with things is to say, I felt really upset when you said that. Am I perceiving that rightly, or am I misunderstanding you? So the way that we deal with things is so important, because if you point the finger at somebody, they get all defensive. But actually, if we can say, I felt that, but I could have totally misunderstood, then it totally changes the atmosphere and things can become a solution rather than remaining a problem.
Thanks, love. Okay, quickly through the last few. Remember, we're looking at things that Father won't do for you, he won't fix. Next one. We can choose whether we love or fear. It's a choice. It's a choice. Now, do we get it wrong? Of course we get it wrong sometimes. But it's a choice. God's given us the dignity of choosing. Next one. We've got to choose to our own relationship boundaries. If you're in Christian work and have got a mercy heart, you'll have 1,000 needs in front of you. But you're not meant to meet them all. You're meant to know from the Holy Spirit which one or two you're meant to meet. If you're not secure and settled in who you are, the needs will stretch you and burn you out. You must set your own boundaries. You must learn to live from the inside out and not everything around you. So you're living from the life within you and you're setting your boundaries. Next one, there's two to go. We have to learn to be kind and compassionate when things go wrong. We have to learn. It's a learning process. Paul said, I've learnt to be content. So he must have been uncontent at some other times, if there is such a thing. Last one. We have to learn to manage our finances. If you've got a credit card and go out on a whippy spend and then come back and say, Lord Jesus, could you send me a few £1,000? It's a bit of a cheek, isn't it? Now, God will help you in your finances, but he wants us to be responsible stewards of what we got. He wants us, and maybe if you're in a mess, you need to go to somebody and say, I need help here. I need help here. You see, it's pretty basic. If you're spending more than you've got, you're in debt. So God wants to teach us to be, have an even keel. Okay, so I'm just going to round up now. There are lots of things that Father does for us, and they're wonderful. And maybe this morning there's some things you need to ask Father for and say, look, Father, I need you to fix that. But also, what things do you need to fix yourself? What things do you need to do for yourself to help your own discipleship and own growth? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You're a dad who loves us. You're a dad who cares. You're a dad who sent your own son to die on the cross, suffer all that, and rise from the dead, and bring salvation and new life to us. We thank you for that. But you've given us dignity. You've given us dignity of choice. And there's many things we can choose. But we pray this morning you'll help us receive from you what we need to receive, but also be wise and responsible in the things that will give us choice to do ourselves. And we want to thank you this morning that Jesus loves us even when we make lousy choices. It doesn't change his love for us. Amen.